Sue is the leader of Thrive Church, Community Church down in Eastleigh near Southampton. And I first came across Sue when she came to do, was part of a prophetic presbytery, and was really struck by her prophetic ministry. And she's spoken with us a couple of times. And we're really excited to hear what you have to say this morning. So I will just pray and then let you go. Father, I thank you for Sue. I thank you for the ministry that she has. I thank you for the anointing that she carries. And I thank you for the preparation and hours that she's put in to speak with us this morning. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, you will just tap each one of us on the shoulder and say, this bit's for you, this bit's for you. And that we will go away carrying something fresh this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. So there are some faces I remember from last time I came, but obviously some that I don't. So it's nice to be with you. I just thought I'd introduce my husband, Bryn. Bryn, why don't you stand up? No, he doesn't want to. He gets embarrassed. I decided to bring my husband with me this time. We're our daughter is studying at Royal Holloway, so we're going to go via there to meet her for lunch, which gives us an excuse to see her because we do miss her not being around. So it's good to be with you. As Anthea said, I'm lead a church in a wonderful town called Eastleigh called Thrive. I'm senior leader there. We're very similar to you guys here. We want to see God come. We want to see God touch our community. We want to see the presence and the life of all that the kingdom of God offers be real to people that are around us, among us, in our workplaces, and wherever we go, we want to see God, and we want people to meet Jesus. So I know that's your heart. Yes. So I felt God really say I needed to share with you a picture that I had that really challenged me about my life, and something that God was doing to me. It's linked to this thing of concept of having a passion for Jesus. Now, the word passion means, this is what it says, a strong and barely controllable emotion. A strong but barely controllable. So you can just about, only just contain it. And so it means basically that actually wherever you go, you are holding back slightly this thing in you that's saying, I'm really passionate about this. Now, how many in this room are passionate about football? Come on, there's bound to be, because wherever you go, there are, definitely. Now, do you find that when you go to a football match, you are just holding it in? No? No, because you're not, are you? The passion comes out in that environment when you are with others that are passionate about the same thing. You find that you can't contain it. Is that true? Yeah, it's true. So, I mean, then, whatever it is that you're passionate about, when you get with other people who are passionate about the same thing, you can't contain it. So it means for us who are passionate about Jesus, when we get together, we can't contain it. But you see, this is what happens in life. We kind of get a bit, oh, well, yes, I'm passionate about Jesus, but I learn to contain it. I learn to subdue it. I learn to live a life that has it there, but it's not quite functioning or working. So I was in a time where I was praying, I was engaging with God, and I was just asking God some things. Life had been pretty tough. I was going, through things, struggling with some stuff that was kicking off around us, as life does. And I had this picture of me, and I was in a boxing ring. So there I was fighting. I haven't got a clue who I was fighting, but I know I was passionately fighting this person. And I'm not particularly into boxing, but I was giving it a really good go. I was, I was drenched in sweat. I was giving this a hard time. And I was physically exhausted. I was mentally going, just gritting my teeth, saying, I'm going to make it through to the end of the round. I am going to survive. And all the emotion and the intensity of a fight, I was just in that place, in that moment. And then the bell rings, the end of the round. You know, we've watched a boxing match. And they go to their corners, don't they? So you divide and you say, right, okay, I'll come back and get you again in a minute. So that whole kind of intensity, and there I was. So at the end of the round, just going, oh, I'm glad that's over with. I can have a bit of a break. And I turned around, and there in my corner, there was Jesus. And all the emotion that I was feeling about the intensity of the fight, I just went into the corner and I sat there and I just felt him just say to me, I said, I've got this, Sue. Why are you trying so hard? I've got this. Why are you thinking you can make this happen? I've got it. So I sat there in this corner and I'm just resting back and he says, I'm in your corner. I'm in your corner. So there I am in this emotion and in this feeling. And then, so I was reminded of this scripture. Now this is where just trying to work out if it's going to work. This scripture that I felt God speak to me. It says here in Ephesians 2, it says, and now because we are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. This is from the Passion Translation, just in case you're wondering. It's like, that doesn't read in my Bible. This is what it says. I just felt, because of this, I thought, actually, do you know what? I have access to the Father. I have that place where I can come before him. And then it says in verse 20, you are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. So, the thought of that the corner of my life rests in the cornerstone of who Jesus is. That I don't have to worry, I don't have to figure it out, I don't have to try and make it work because he's got the corner. And then it also says in Ephesians 6, it says this, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The reality is that the wrestle that we have isn't our battle in the way that we think we've got to make it work, but it's actually as we rest and as we discover who our cornerstone is. So I'd like to just share a couple of things with you. I just wanted to share to you about how I see that Jesus is our cornerstone. That we are the dwelling place, that the Holy Spirit is within us. And that actually, what does it look like to remember who Jesus is every day that we walk? So he is our cornerstone. Our centre of our lives are built on him. I don't know much about buildings. Are there any people here that are into builders or into construction stuff? Yeah, see, I've not got a clue. But I read this. This may be, and I just thought, yeah, okay, the cornerstone or the foundation stone or a setting stone is the first stone set in the construction of a masonry foundation. It's important since all other stones will be set in reference to this stone. This determines the position of the entire structure. The reality is, if we do not set our lives first and foremost in the cornerstone, which is Christ, the rest of what we set will slightly be out of sync. And actually, he supports us, he holds us, it makes everything come together. And I don't know about you, but I do forget this sometimes. I do, you know, in all the walk of life, when the pressure is on, where do I go for reliance? Where do I go for my strength? I go to myself first and foremost, because naturally we are people that look into ourselves. Where do I find my strength? Where do I find that moment, I've got to endure, I've got to get through. Actually, a lot of the time, we just go to our own thinking, we go to our own understanding, because that's where we find our protection. We go back into the things we know. We go back into the fear or the anxiety or the things that affect, help us to survive. But actually, what it is that there is a cornerstone in our lives, which is Christ. He's the one that holds us, is the place that we go to that makes everything else, makes the whole entire structure able to stand. He enables us to keep going. He enables us, even when we don't realize it, he enables us, that we have to trust him. And that includes what we build together. what you build here together, as we put the stones in the right places. You know what? We don't have to really worry if he's at the center of it all, because it will make sense as long as he's in the corner. As long as he's the one that you build everything around, everything else will make sense. And we can trust him. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to build. He knows what he's doing with you and through you and among you. You've just got to trust him. You've just got to enable him to be the one that's in that corner. And then I was looking at this whole thing. How many of you are into physical fitness? Yeah, a few of us. So I, the whole core of our being, our body functions. That if we do not work on our core of our physical body, which is the center part here, the rest of it starts to fall away. They talk about this, your core stability. Now, they're one of the things that you can do the plank, right? So trying to do this for a minute, I'd go home and try it. As you get older, it gets harder. I can tell you that now. If you do not look after the core of your physical body, you will find that other things start to hurt more. It's true. It's a fact. And my daughters are getting older, and then you realise how you're getting weaker. So their physical ability, so I go to the gym with my youngest daughter, her ability to endure certain things is a lot more than what I can. But I have realised, because I run, because I look up, I can actually run further than she can. So it's quite fun. I can say, I still can go further. So I'm quite pleased with myself. But that's only because I do it. If I didn't, I can guarantee she would run circles around me. So as we get older, we have to recognise to look after ourselves. We have to start by the stability of training and enduring and looking after our physical body. And if we don't do that physically as we get older, we find that things start to ache. Your back will hurt. Your legs will ache. Because it's all linked to this core. So I just want to encourage you, if you don't, look after your body. It's the only one you get. And I tell you, as you get older, you suddenly realise, if I haven't looked after it, I'm going to struggle. Now, if that means physically, that means also the same spiritually. Do we look after the core of our spiritual beings? Are we recognising, we talk about the cornerstone, core of our bodies, cornerstone. It's the same principle. It's, are we looking after? Are we shaping? Are we maintaining and saying, I recognize that in the core of who I am, there is Jesus? Is he the place that stabilizes, that I centralize, that I focus on, that I understand in the rhythms of every day? That when we read different things, that we go, oh, there he is. Or where I am struggling, or the pressure is on, do I just go, there he is, because I know, because I've grounded that place in the centre of who I am. So I just want us to take a moment just to ponder that. So if you just want to close your eyes, I always find it helps to just focus. Because we just want to acknowledge you, Jesus, that you are here, because you're always here. And that we want to acknowledge that you are with us. And that you are in us. And that we surrender. We surrender all that we are to you. Because there's no one else like you. So we read in Ephesians 2, there it says that this means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies. His dwelling place through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. I just love that. Now, in the Old Testament, this is kind of a rough picture of what the temple would have looked like. There was the Holy of Holies, which is there where the Ark of the Covenant was stored, the place where God's presence dwelt. And the only person that was allowed to access that place was the priest, high priest. And that was only on certain days of the year that he would go into that place. Because that's what where the presence of God was contained. And it was all powerful. And we've heard this in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there are moments where people touch the Ark of Covenant because that's where it was stored, where they died because they weren't entitled to touch the presence of God. And there was so much fear around this, that when the priests used to go into that place, into that sanctuary, they would tie a cord around their leg when they went in, just in case they got struck down. So if they did, they could pull them out of that space. See, because that's what it was like. But because of Jesus, you see, because of what he did, means we become the dwelling place. We, each one of us. So where it was in one space, one box, contained the presence of God, suddenly, look around the room, every single one of us becomes the Holy of Holies. You are that dwelling place. You. So turn to the person and say to them next to you, say, you are. You are. That we have to recognize. We have to recognize that his presence dwells within us. It's not just for those that do, you know, that are in leadership or do these things that we think are highly amazing. Because the reality is we all do what we need to do because of who we are. But God has placed himself in each one of us. That we become the place where the Spirit of God dwells in us. And I know you know this, but sometimes it's good to be reminded. Because Jesus promised his Holy Spirit to us. You know, it says that in John 14, verse 16 and 17. It says this in the Passion Translation. Jesus said this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another Saviour, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. That is the promise. You see, the reality is we may find ourselves physically fighting life and fighting things that are way beyond our understanding, and at times we think, I'm exhausted by it. But the reality is we have in the core of who we are the presence of God. We have the Holy Spirit. He makes his home in us. He lives with us. He dwells with us every single moment of our lives. And this is the connection that we have. But you know what? Sometimes I forget it. I forget that because I go back to my own strength. I go back to my own reliance of, I need to throw another punch for another day. How many of you feel like that sometimes? I get up sometimes and I think, okay, I'm going to put my big girl pants on and I'm going to survive another day. Because I don't really want to, because life comes at me, because there are things and people and stuff. But the reality is, in the core of who I am, there is God. And so in the process of this, I was reminded of a memory of finding God's presence. See, we always assume it's in the good, exciting things. So we'll hear the stories, and people will share the stories of when God came and it was great. Because I was having you know, it was tough, but then God did this, and then this happened, and, you know, it's all big grandeur. But sometimes, in the stuff that's really difficult, there is God. And this is a memory that I had through when I was in labour with my youngest daughter. So those of you that have had children understand the pain of labour. Those of you that haven't, have got you women that haven't, you've got that to endure if you know, if that's where you're going in life. But for me, I'd had a really tough time childbirth with my oldest, and so the second time around kind of scared me a bit, if I'm honest. And but I remember saying to God, I need your help with this because I don't think I can do it. And every contraction, I went on a journey with God. There, it was me and Jesus in this moment. And all I remember, because you don't remember much else, is that my husband was in front of me and I was hanging on to his trouser legs, gripping the hem of his jeans. That's what I remember. I visibly remember that, and I remember Jesus. And every contraction was, there was him, and then we died down in it. And there we went, and we did this. And this was the rhythm. This was the journey. And that's it. He didn't take the pain away. He didn't make it any easier necessarily. But he was with me. We can't just think life comes at us and it's all rosy and hunky-dory and that we're not going to receive and feel pain. The reality is pain is part of life. Jesus endured it. So let's just embrace it, shall we? But what he promises that he will never leave us. Why? Because he gave us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. So we can endure anything. So if you are physically ill, which I gather there are a few of you around, God is with you. God is in you. He is with you. So you can be in this and find him and discover that in the core of your being, God is there. That's the whole journey of life. That's what we have to remember, that we have to remember that he is there. It says in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't say, and I'll make your life rosy and comfortable, and guess what? I'll be like Father Christmas, and whatever you desire, I'll give you. No, he doesn't say that. He says, I'm with you. I give you enough strength to endure what is in front of you. And the miracles do happen, but do you know what? The miracle of all miracles, that he's with you. That he chooses to be a God that journeys with us. So that my passion, my strong emotion that I'm barely able to control, is because he's a God that walks with me. And he gets me. And he understands when I'm struggling and when I'm happy and when I'm sad and when I'm capable and when I'm not capable. He understands all that, and he comes alongside me and says, I stand with you, Sue. And he does that. That's the God we know. That's what he reminds us, that his presence comes to us, and he wants us to be people that pursue that and create space for that, so that we know that he is always, always, always with us. That's the God that we have. So whatever you are going through, whatever that is, from the fact of maybe that you're struggling at work, to the fact that you're struggling with the fact that you're sick. You know, there are so many layers of it. You know, I talked about labour and have giving birth to children, but some people can't have children. Some people, you know, we deal with the different things that come at us. Life is pretty brutal at times. Things happen, but God is kind and God is good, and he's with us. You know, so when we look around us and we think about this passion that we have, it's not just because, oh, look what God's given me, all this success. It's going, no, look at what God did, because in life it was hard, but I found a way of walking every step of every day. You know, with mental health, you know, I've got some friends that just to get out of bed is a miracle. But they do. Why? Because God's with them. And, you know, and I look at that and I go, but that's what it's about. That God is with us. So we're going to do some communion. Because the other thing that I felt God really challenged me about was this thing of what this represents. So we read it, and, you know, we read it in the scriptures about Jesus did this at the Passover. And we had this, he had this meal with his disciples, and he just shared what was going to happen, but they didn't really understand at the time. It was just, oh, Jesus did something nice. They didn't quite get what he was doing. But what Jesus did, he took two basic needs that were part of food necessity in that time. The Passover was a ritual, and they used to have lots of different kinds of foods that were bitter herbs and, you know, all kinds of things that represented what happened in the Old Testament, you know, when they came with the plague and they did this meal to remember what had happened, and that was part of it. And then Jesus took two basic needs, which was bread and wine. They used every day. He could have used anything on that table, but he used two basic things, the bread and wine. And so I was thinking about this. I was thinking, okay, God, what does that mean? What does that mean, ritual that we create, the bread and wine, do this in remembrance of me? That actually what Jesus was doing there was symbolizing that in the simplest things of the basic things that you do every day, remember me. So we do this together. We do this to remember him. But there are things that we all do every day, basic essential things that we do, that we can make as a ritual to remember him. Do this in remembrance of me. This ritual isn't just about this moment where we break bread together like this, you know, the communion, the bread symbolizing his body, the blood, the wine. But it is about in what we do in every day of our lives. You know, because his body was broken, his blood was shed, so that we don't have to live in the shame and the pain and the hurt and the fear, the anger, the jealousy, the hatred, anything toxic in our lives that stops us allowing Jesus to be at the center. We don't have to live in that. And just like I shared in my picture earlier, that he's got your back because he's in your corner. Because anyone's in your corner, he's always in the back of you. Back, he's in the back. He's got your back. He's got you. He's holding you. He's able to be there for you. It says in Romans 12, verse 1, it says, "Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacrifice. Live in sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes our genuine expression of worship." And I'd like us to do this together today as part of a response to say, you know what? I want to learn to live a life that's more and more in remembrance of him. In remembrance of what he has done for me. What he will continually do for me. That my passion for Jesus will be the thing that marks my life out, regardless of what's going on. So that when people look at you, they can go, "Well, why do you endure? How can you keep going? Look what's going on around you." And so because Christ is the center. He's the ritual of my life. Not just because I do Sunday mornings and I gather with a community of people and we do church together. That's part of it. But it's because he is the ritual of my life. That every day I wake up, I do this in remembrance of you, Jesus. I live my life in remembrance of you because of what you have done, because of what you continually keep doing, that I can keep going. You know, when we talk about when we see Jesus face to face, I don't care anything other than he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because I have lived my life in remembrance of him, and I have been a life that is of a ritual for him, through him, and in everything he wants. You know, sometimes we think we've got to be out there conquering the world, beating up everything, and look what I've slain. No, he just says, you know, for some of us, it's like, "You got out of bed every day. Well done, you good and faithful servant." Because you chose. You chose to live life and find him. It's just one step. We only have to find that one step. What is in front of you that God is asking and wanting you to see? Well, actually, that I can be and I can live life and I can live it well, and my family and my friends will see the ritual of Christ in me. That he is the center and the focus of our lives. So I'd like us to do this together. Is everybody up for that? Good. So there's something I was just, while we were worshipping, that I felt. So if you're over 55, I'd like you to stand. So I was thinking about this thing of passion. That we don't normally associate passionate about life with people as they get older in our culture. We normally associate age with, oh, they're getting old and grumpy. grumpy old men is one of the things that's, you know. I believe that God wants to do something about this understanding, this passion, this strong, barely containable emotion for Christ, for who he is, for what he's done in your lives and what he's going to continually keep doing. It doesn't stop just because you're getting older. It keeps growing. That core should get bigger as we get older, not shrink. That's the truth. Our bodies may get weak, but our spirits should be enlarging. So when we are very old, actually, we should be so filled with the presence of God. And so I want to encourage you, as we do this, to receive something of the passion of who Christ is. That there is a ritual that God wants to give you for the next season of your lives, for when retirement comes for some of you, and some of you may be hitting that more than nearer than others, that you will find that there is an increase of passion and desire for who God is and for what he wants to do in you. Not to settle, not to accept, well, my life, I've done it, but actually there is something new and fresh of who he is because of what he wants to do. When we talk about generations, we always talk about, oh, well, the young will have all the life and the vitality. Well, actually, I believe that in the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as young and old. We just keep going on a journey until we see him face to face. And whatever life offers you, and for some of us, our bodies will start to get weaker and our bodies will stop working in certain ways. But who he is does not change. And what he wants to do in us still keeps enlarging. So I want to encourage you. I want you, and I'm going to just read this from Isaiah 40. It says this. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening in? God doesn't come and go, God lasts. He's creator of all and can see all, he's creator of all you can see and imagine. Don't get tired out. He doesn't get tired out, he doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything inside out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even youths grow tired and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall, but for those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. That is the promise of God. That if you're tired, this ritual is what brings life. Because of what he did, it gives you life. If you are in the core of your being tired, then come and be sustained, come and be restored, because he is the cornerstone of everything. And if you are putting him in that right place, everything else will make sense. Even if you don't feel it, it's the truth. So I don't know how you do this, but I'd like us to make this a moment where we come and receive. So I'd like you to come and receive yourselves individually, because he wants to give life. Do this in remembrance of him, the one that your life has always been built on, the passion for the one that we love. And then I want you to look around and say, right, okay, God, what can I give away of what you have given me? And go and find someone just to bless them. Is that okay? So I'll leave that with you guys. I'll just pray. I've got this prayer that I do as a ritual in my life. So it'll be good for us to do it together. It goes like this. Jesus, we acknowledge that you are here. Jesus, we acknowledge that you are with us. Jesus, we acknowledge that you are in us. And we surrender. We surrender to all that you are. Because we acknowledge that you are here, that you are with us, and that you are in us. That you promise to be with us. And we acknowledge that this morning. So as we do this ritual, as we remember you, we ask that you would come and restore whatever's going on in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.